I want to say that it is, as I'm delighted to work with Brother Kenny. I appreciate him so much. He's been an example to me. Also, to see so many of you, to see Mary Lagadage, just, we'll see you at the beach tomorrow. But, I know. The thing is, I haven't touched the water since we lifeguarded together, to tell you the truth, except for showering. But so good to see so many of you. I want to say that I am very aware of the time tonight. And if you look up there, you'll see Pastor Wanamaker. He is watching the clock. But he's smiling because he knows pastors don't know the clock too well. But I'll try to keep it brief. I want to base what I want to speak to us, the time that the Lord allows while I'm here, on Matthew 7. If you have your Bible, open up to that with me, please. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, probably a very familiar scripture for all of us, at least most of us, right? The Lord was speaking here, and he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I always found that so daunting when you read that. Few there be that find it. The New Living Translation puts it a little differently. I'd like to read that to you from 13 and 14 of chapter 7 of Matthew. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Quite a scripture, right? I remember growing up in the Kingsburg Pentecostal Church. I was saved when I was 10 years old, and I had a great Sunday school teacher, and they used flannel graph in those days. I don't know if the young people know what flannel graph is. Now, you know, but it was made of flannel, and it was graph. If that helps. But, you know, I remember he had a flannel board that went with the flannel graph. And he put up there the broad way, and he put up that narrow way. And he explained the scripture to us that broad way leads to hell. You know, you have to be careful today teaching. You can't tell children that it leads to hell. You've got to be more gentle about it. But I remember seeing that Broadway and saying that leads to hell, but the way that leads to life is narrow, and there was that thin strip of flannel graph, and I remember saying, I want to be on that narrow way. I want to be on the road that leads to life. I was a smart kid. I had intelligence, you know. But I'll never forget my what that Sunday school teacher says. He says that wide highway there, that broad highway, it leads to hell. And I remember driving with my brother in the back seat. We were young, and my father turned onto a freeway, and he said, "This road's hell." I said to my brother, "What did we do?" I just remember, like, oh my goodness. Where are we going? Well, we ended up at my aunt's house. And it was very similar. But, you know, one thing that we take note in this scripture, and folks, let me start by saying, thank God if you're on the narrow way. Thank God that if the Holy Spirit has moved your heart and you realize, I'm being a little facetious, but how precious it is to know that you're on the narrow way. It's too easy to be on the broad way. And note what Jesus said, few there be that find it. Yes. You know, a pastor wants everyone to get saved. And that should, that's a good pastor. But not everybody at the funeral home goes to heaven. And you take note of what Jesus said there. The way is difficult. I remember one time here at camp, I was a young staff member, and I was testifying and sharing how we were in a very long meeting, kind of like tonight. And I said to the staff member next to me, I said, I believe the Christian life is killing me. And he said, that's what it's supposed to do. You're supposed to die. And I shared that in a testimony. And I remember afterwards, an elderly missionary came to me and said, oh, you need to know the joy. And she was right. And I don't belittle what she said. You need to know the joy and the flood of hope that comes when you're on the narrow way. That night she gave a testimony about how much she suffered in the field. And I thought to myself, oh, the narrow way is difficult sometimes. I want to just address that a little bit tonight. Here's some things my Sunday school teacher didn't tell me about the narrow way. The narrow way stays the same, but the world it runs through changes drastically. Isn't it true? The narrow way stays the same, but the world is changing constantly, and that's hard on us sometimes. Here's another thing. You can hear and see all the fun that people are having on the broad way. Wouldn't it be great in the narrow way that that all got blocked out? But it kind of runs parallel. And you can look over, and there's all kinds of excitement happening on the broad way. Here's another thing. There are strange people on the narrow way. You know, you think that, you know, you take Christ's word there, and the narrow way is for those who get saved and sanctified. The truth is, and that's wonderful, but there's also kind of weird people on the narrow way. That's not God's fault. That's their fault. But there are some weird people. That's been my experience. You know, if you disagree with me, you might be one of them. I'm not sure. Here's another one. There are police on the narrow way, and they're called saints. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. See, when you're on the narrow way, our wonderful Lord makes sure that there are people who teach you, evangelists and pastors and teachers that teach you along the narrow way, that instruct you. You don't always get that on the broad way. You know, there's no one that's going to make sure that your feet are on the right path. But there are. But the thing I want to focus on tonight is this. There are times, believe it or not, that you might feel lost on the narrow way. I've been there. I was thinking a little bit, I'd like you to think a little bit about what do you do when you feel lost on the narrow way? You're not supposed to feel lost on the narrow way, first of all, right? What's wrong with you? That's the thing. But sometimes you do feel lost on the narrow way. That does happen. And if you think a little bit about when you really do get lost in your driving, have you ever been there? Maybe some of you got lost on the way here tonight. I don't know. But there's something to that. I remember when I first moved to Spotswood, I got on a road called 18. It led me into New Brunswick. And I remember just, like, got so lost. Were you there, Julia? It's like, where am I? And when I got home, my wife said, where were you? I said, I was somewhere in New Jersey. And I was spinning around. But there's some observations that I made in my experience of having been lost in the highway. Let me just list them. You just want to keep going, because to stay still is to stay lost. So you just keep driving. Here's another thing. You hope and long to see something familiar. You know how many McDonald's I saw that day? You know? But it didn't matter. How about this? I got this idea in my head that the larger highways would bring hope to get me home quicker. They can get you somewhere further and farther, right? It's true, and faster. Many of you, maybe some of the older folks, have heard of Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra had some observations you might enjoy, and I applied them to when you're lost. The idea of when you're lost, I'm lost, I better be careful. This is what Yogi Berra said. You've got to be very careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. Did you catch that? Because sometimes that's how it is when you feel lost. How about this one? I knew I was going to take the wrong train, so I left early. Right? Yeah. And the last one is this. Hey, Yogi, I think we're lost. Yeah, but we're making great time. Now, the idea here is this. When you're lost, it's a little too late to be careful. You should have been careful before you got lost, right? When you're lost, it's not about making up time. And when you're lost, it's not about how fast you can go. I remember when I my first year of living here at camp, I went home for a while. I came back and for some reason the bus dropped me off in Chestertown, and I had to get picked up. Mike Cargan, I think, came for me, or Billy Rodriguez, one of the fellows who lived up here as well. And it was a real one of those great winter Adirondack winters. And I was standing by in those days they had phone booths, you know, the things that Superman used to change in. And I was standing in that phone booth, getting ready to just get picked up and come back. And I remember having such a feeling, and here I was wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to follow the Lord, but I had such a feeling of just being lost. Where am I going? What am I doing? How is this going to turn out? You know, those things, those feelings are very real. And yet I knew God loved me. Yet I knew I was saved. Yet I knew I was on the narrow way and following the Lord and wanting to follow the Lord in a greater way. But I had this feeling of just being lost. I don't know. Maybe you've never been there, but I have. You can get lost on the narrow way. And I see sometimes when I look into some folks' eyes that, yeah, they're on the narrow way, but they're a little lost. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how things are going to work out. Let me mention a few things, and I'm moving it along quick because I got about another half hour or so more. But look it. How about distractions on the narrow way? How about carelessness on the narrow way? Being bored on the narrow way? Or just running away from something? Too much traffic, I put down. It's just too many people in and out of your life, right? I noticed that when we're emotionally lost, we make the same mistakes that we make when we're naturally lost. What do I mean by that? When you're emotionally lost, sometimes you feel like you just got to keep going, you know? You just got to keep up the show. You got to, you know, you're a Christian, you're born again, you're a church member, maybe even you're active in church. Maybe you're in the worship team or helping out in some other way. But you feel lost inside and you just got to keep going. Or you just hope that something familiar happens to you. Or lastly, you just hope that, you know, things move quicker, like a freeway or a highway type of things, that maybe things will start happening. For goodness sake, you just don't want to be still. And a few years back, you know, the Lord gave me this acrostic that helped me out, and I like to share it with you. L-O-S-T, lost. What do you do when you're on the narrow way? You know you've given your heart to the Lord. You love the Lord and you want to serve the Lord, but you feel lost. L, look for the wrong turn. Look for that wrong turn. See, everybody makes a mistake, but not everybody faces their mistake. What we're blessed with in this Christian walk is a great word that God has given us. It's called repentance. It's turning around. It's having your mind changed. Years ago, they used to teach us when before you cross the street, you should stop. What? Do you, maybe some of you know this. Stop, look both ways, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. Well, there was a time in Israel's history when Israel was lost, terribly lost. And God sent a man by the name of Jeremiah. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Jeremiah, and in essence, he was telling them to stop, stop, look, and listen. Let me read it to you. It's from Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths and where the good way is, and walk in it. Do you know the rest? What will you find?" He says, "You'll find rest for your souls." But it ends with this. You won't do it. You will not walk in it. Jeremiah was telling them, stop, look, and listen. And so the first thing is this. When you're feeling that lost, when you're feeling confused, stop. Stop. Ask God, where did I make a wrong turn? Where do I need to stop, repent? Isaiah wrote this. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you and teach you. You will hear your teacher, you will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him right behind you, saying with a voice saying, "This is the way, turn around and walk here." You know, you got to stop to hear that voice. You got to stop, look, and listen and say, "God, where did I make the wrong turn? I can't just keep going." L is for this. So L is for look for the wrong turn, excuse me. But O is important too. You've got to outlast your desire to quit and just think you're stuck and say, this is where I'm at. That's not the kind of Savior we have. So if you look for the wrong turn and you outlast your desire to quit, God is going to begin to lead you. I heard about a man who went out and had to take a trip. His family said goodbye to him, and he took a trip. His family waited and waited for him to return, and he never returned. And they wondered what in the world happened to him. Years went by, and they couldn't find him. He was a missing person. Years later, they found him in South Texas. He had gotten lost. And when he got lost, he was in Texas. This is before cell phones. And he settled down there. Kind of crazy, right? Well, isn't it crazy, though, if you're emotionally lost and you just keep going? And then finally, you just give up and stay there? How crazy that is, right? Frustrations, emotions, and fears all have one thing in common, and that's this, that they're quitters. God wants to bring us on. Let me read to you what it says in Philippians 3:12. The Apostle Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." He had a press to keep going, to see what God wanted in and of his life. S is this. Speak to someone who's been there. How important it is. So L was look for the wrong turn. O was for outlast your desire to quit. But S is to speak to someone who's been there. I like to tell the story about my brother Roy. Growing up, my brother Roy was always an adventure. He used to just, I think it was every Saturday night, get dressed, dress up, comb his hair, get in his car, and go out for the night. And then he would come back late, maybe 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, sometimes later. He did this every Saturday when he got in his car and he took off. I finally decided one time I'm going to ask to go with him. So I said, "Roy, do you mind if I went with you tonight?" He said to me a few times, he said, no. The whole family was wondering, where does he go? Finally, I bugged him enough. I said, let me go with you. He said, okay, but you got to get dressed up. So I got dressed up. Got in his car. I said, where we're going? He said, we'll see. I live in central Jersey. That night we ended up somewhere in Pennsylvania. I said, Roy, do you know where you are? He says, I don't have a clue to where I am. I said, do you know how to get home? He said, no. That's where I got the 3 points of maybe we'll just keep going until we see something familiar. Or here's a pretty busy highway. That'll get us there. We were out a long time. I never went with my brother again. But I'll tell you this. I remember begging him. I said, there's a guy. Let's ask that guy. This is before, cell phones. I said, let's ask that guy. No, can't ask him. I said, well, let's go to a payphone. No. We made it home. You were probably wondering. But you know, the thing is, we do that sometimes. We keep going. We don't realize that we could get help, that we could ask. Ask somebody. Speak to someone who's been there. 85% of what you go through in your youth has been experienced by elders, by older folks. It's good to talk when you're young, to talk to somebody who's been there. Now, if you talk to my brother Roy, he could tell you about how to get to a few places in Pennsylvania. He's been there enough, and thank God he didn't finally just quit and live there. But there's 3 reasons we don't to ask for advice. We've received bad advice at some time in our life, and we've lost trust. Or we're just so determined to do things our own way, or we don't want people or even ourselves to admit that we're lost. Here's the last one for tonight. Trust the one who is higher than yourself. Trust the one who is higher than yourself. And that's our Lord Jesus. Proverbs says this in Proverbs 61:2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The definition for a vantage point is this: a position that affords a broad overview, view, or perspective. As a place of or situation of elevation. I'm going to close out with three ways to take advantage of that. You see, because when you look up and you trust the Lord and you begin to say, God, I feel lost. I learned a long time ago to stop and say, where did I make the wrong turn? To say, Lord, I'm not gonna quit speaking to you till you direct me. I learned a long time ago that it's good to speak to people and get counsel. There's safety in counsel. But I also learned this, that when you feel lost, that's when you need the shepherd the most. And we have a good shepherd. And so just 3 things in closing tonight. You need to look up. You need to look up. Very often, we look too much inside ourselves. But you need to look up. It says this, the wonderful prayer of Jehoshaphat. For we have no power, Jehoshaphat said to the God, against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. The second thing is this, you need to listen up. Proverbs 8. And so, my children, listen to me, for happy are all who follow my ways. Listen to my counsel and be wise. Here's another one, the last one. You need to step up, from James. And it's a little different translation. And remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen. If you don't obey, then you are only fooling yourself. I just thank God for a wonderful shepherd who guides and leads us. I kind of rushed through this tonight. Like I said, I'm trying to. I keep seeing Pastor Wanamaker looking at me. But I want to just say that if there's anyone here tonight, and you know you're on the narrow way, you know you love the Lord, and you know God is faithful and true, but maybe you're feeling a little lost on the way. We have a great shepherd. And the wonderful thing is that he meets us where we are. And that's a wonderful thing. How many times I didn't know how to get to him, but he found me. And so I just want to offer up a prayer tonight. Whether you're young or you're old, and maybe you've been on the narrow way for a long time, or maybe not a long time. Maybe you're a staff member and you're not even sure which path you're on. I want to just offer up a prayer. Because being lost and having that feeling of being lost is not what God has for us. He knows the way that leads to glory. And he's our guide and our and he's our shepherd. And Lord, I just pray tonight, Father, that you yourself will come to us. Lord, lead us closer to you, as we sang, nearer to you and dearer to you. Help us to keep our eyes on Christ. We pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's anyone here in this needed this simple message, maybe it has been floundering or feeling lost, that they'll know tonight that this word was Christ speaking to them, that he knows them, he knows where they are, and is a guide that's going to lead them all the way. We just ask this, and we pray it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.